And it is on the clock. The happiest of Fridays, everybody. Welcome in. I'm Ben Kenny, Sports Radio 94 WIP and Phillies 24/7. If you can hear it in my voice, just moments ago on the television in front of me, the Philadelphia Phillies defeat the Atlanta Braves 3-1 in the NLDS. They move on to the NLCS for the second straight year. A classic, classic playoff baseball game tonight. I don't know where to start. Like, ding dong, the Braves are dead. They can go back home to their non-existent fan base and all the 100 whatever wins. They still are a team that in the playoffs are absolutely owned by the Phillies. What did we say last week on this show? Going in, if the Phillies could flip a Rangers start against Strider, awesome. Well, they did that twice. The Phillies had the pitching advantage. The bullpen was better. They had the manager advantage. I mean, Rob Thomson ran circles around Brian Snitker this entire series. And you see it, everyone on Twitter, oh, what's Matt Strom doing coming in the game? Well, he's coming in because they're going to bring Rosario off the bench, and that's their last good hope. The bottom of their lineup, it was dead the entire series, but it was especially dead tonight after they brought in the entire bench to pinch run in the seventh. Man, what a game. What a series. Like, you cannot say enough about what this Phillies team is, what they have. And as Nick Castellanos said it after game two, which I thought would be, honestly, the igniter for the Braves. They get those last couple innings, and they turn that game around. And I felt, oh, here we go again. The Braves are back. They remembered how to hit. But no, Nick Castellanos said it. We get punched in the face. We thrive. Well, they come back home, and they get a 2008 World Series Game 4 quintessential 10-2 win, where there's obviously a doubt until they have a 6-run third inning and explode. And Game 4, like the mirror between Game 4 and Game 1, with Ranger Suarez undeniably out-dueling Spencer Strider. And Strider wasn't bad. He gave up 2 runs in the first game, and then just 3 on 3 solo home runs in the fourth. But he gets out-dueled by Suarez, and for a Phillies bullpen that threw the fewest innings of any team in Major League Baseball, shout out Aaron Nola, we'll get to him later, for them to come in and not be flawless, but to somehow scratch by, which is all you need to do. Thompson's using his big bullets in the sixth inning with Alvarado and Sir Anthony, and the season, as we all thought, comes down to Craig Kimbrel with the bases loaded, and then Matt freaking Strom, in the ninth inning with runners on first and third and nobody out. Unbelievable. It's a testament to the Phillies and how they are constructed first by Dombrowski, but who they are as a team, that they can bludgeon you to death if you let them, like they did in Game 3. They can also just squeak one by you. They have the intestinal fortitude, whether it's Castellanos going deep twice, Trey Turner goes 4-for-4, and then late in the game, like, I'm sitting on my couch and years are coming off my life as the moments go by and as Acuña is up against Kimbrel. But there's something about this team that they're just always finding themselves on the right side of those moments. And the Braves, especially against the Braves. The Braves are finding themselves on the wrong side. They're an incredible team. Credit to them, in all seriousness. They were a really good team. I thought this was the National League Championship Series. And frankly, like, the Phillies are going to the World Series, and I wouldn't be surprised if this became the World Series when it's all said and done. I would not be surprised if the winner of this, which is now the Phillies, go on to win it. But this is now 2 years in a row, and we'll get to the whole complaining about the playoff system. You can complain about the layoff all you want. The Astros have made 7 straight ALCSs. They don't seem to be afraid of the moment. They are a team that always find themselves on the right side of those highly tense moments, and they always come through with the big moment. And this Phillies team is that. I had a couple Brewers writers I saw on Twitter that I used to work with and nearby just saying, like, this Phillies team is different. It doesn't matter what they do in the regular season. If you know, not only are they well constructed to win in the playoffs, not only do they have the star power of Bryce Harper, but you know that the switch is going to be flipped every time we get to these moments. And they just knocked off one of the greatest offenses in MLB history. They had 1 run in the final game off the Phillies' number 3 starter. And 0 against the number 3 starter in the bullpen in game one. They had, what, five runs was their big explosion in game two? They had two in game three. I'm not the best at math, but that's eight runs over four games from the best offense ever. The Braves were tight. The Braves walked in. They are, actually, as I said after game one, they are front runners. They are amazing at getting a lead and bludgeoning teams when all the momentum's in their favor. But nowadays with the playoffs and with the pitch clock, this is a game of momentum. And as soon as the Braves got hit in the mouth, they folded. From top to bottom, what was Ronald Acuña's biggest moment of the series? Was it not running to first base in game four, or the first batter of the game when he grounds out? He had a double and scored. Awesome. What was Ronald Acuña's biggest moment? It was the flyout to Rojas in the seventh to end what turned out to be the Braves' best shot at getting back in the game and back in the series. Ronald Acuña totally disappeared. Ozzie Albies was actually a weapon. He was probably the only hitter I was actually scared of. Matt Olson, what was Matt Olson's biggest moment? The only guy on the Braves that actually came through like he was billed was Austin Riley. He had the homer tonight. He had the homer a couple days ago. He was awesome. But they went 1-9 all regular season with those guys. And then they got to this time. And yeah, Strider was fine and Fried was hurt and stinks. Whatever. The guys that are actually supposed to come through for the Braves folded like a lawn chair. Marcelo Zuna. He had a million guys on base in game three. Strikeout, strikeout, and then the Phillies explode. So, great. Hang the regular season banner. All the nutjob SEC fans down there that, oh, they all follow the Braves. Awesome. It's a good organization. You guys, when you get to the playoffs against this Phillies team, are complete losers. There's the Arcia thing we'll talk about. But top to bottom, the Braves got outclassed in this series. They got outmanaged by Rob Thompson. They lost to the better team. Let's be honest right now. And why I should switch focus to the Phillies right now. But man, what a series. Like, we're going to look back at these battles between the Phillies and the Braves as the defining series of this generation. There's Red Sox-Yankees, which was heated. And baseball used to be more heated in that way. Right now, it's Phillies-Braves. And it feels like the de facto World Series, unless Texas keeps playing like they're playing. But man, what a game tonight. It took years off my life, straight up. Getting into the seventh, knowing. So we go through the first three innings, and the Phillies get two on in the first. Alec Boehm can't come through. They get two on in the second. They can't come through. They get two on again in the third, all off Strider. The place was ready to explode. And as soon as that guy, I believe it was Boehm again in the third, doesn't come through, it was a flashback to game two. It's a flashback to every Phillies loss, game five of the World Series, when they were wearing the powder blues. It felt like a loss. It felt like those runners were going to come back to bite them. And, I mean, somehow, Ranger pitched like the better pitcher and kept the Braves in check. Even when they got one off him, you felt like that was fine. And then, I mean, Nick Castellanos, the first player in MLB history to have back-to-back multi-homer games in the playoffs. Trey Turner goes 4-for-4, and he hits a bomb. Like, the magic is very much there. I was surprised it was even there when they weren't putting all these runs up. But the moments in that game that were tangible, the three home runs, the fly out to Rojas in center field, which I thought that ball was 20 rows back. When Acuña made contact, or I should start when Kimbrel was facing him, and that at-bat started, when he walked to the nine-hitter, I saw my life flash in front of my eyes. I thought that ball off Acuña's bat was 30 rows deep, and that was it. At that moment, if that ball was gone, the Phillies probably lose the series, which is amazing how small the margins are in this sport. And frankly, what allows me to come on and say that the Braves are front-running losers. Because that ball didn't go out. The Phillies are the ones that are celebrating on the field. I see Bryce Harper, who looks healthy. Massive scare in the eighth inning when Olson runs into his elbow. He looks fine. He's fired up. But the Phillies are the ones celebrating again. And that was awesome. I don't have the words to describe. Like, that's playoff baseball. The Marlins series was... a nice warm-up. The Marlins series felt like spring training compared to what this Braves series felt like. Both game one and game two. And three, they jumped all over the Braves, but especially that game, man. That was game five of the World Series, but the Phillies actually came through with those moments. And maybe, in this case, Johan Rojas is Chaz McCormick. And we're talking about the NLCS, which, if you listen to this show, you would know a couple weeks ago, as the Phillies are entering the playoffs, I did the grand wild card preview, and that was before a weekend when the Diamondbacks won three in a row. The Diamondbacks got swept by the Astros, and the Marlins won a couple. So the Phillies end up facing the Marlins. I might just go back and clip my entire preview of the Diamondbacks and just insert here. But we'll get to that a little bit later. It's On the Clock. I'm Ben Kenny. Here's what's coming up. I have some things I need to hit on from the series as a whole against the Braves. We will talk about some of the biggest clown behavior of the week, whether it's coming from the Atlanta Braves dugout and clubhouse or from those that are talking about the sport. We'll talk about the NLCS. We'll talk about the rest of the playoffs. But I need to touch on a couple things first from the series as a whole. As I led the show saying, entering the series, we did a preview show here. And if you listened, the main things I said, entering, where do the Phillies have the advantage? The Phillies will have the starting pitching advantage in three of five games. Well, Aaron Nola was as good as advertised and better than I could have even imagined him to be in game three. The Phillies lost the Wheeler start, but we know how dominant Wheeler was that night. And somehow they flipped to two Spencer Strider starts and don't even need game five. But it was clear the Phillies starting pitching shut down the Braves lineup top to bottom, which was a really hard thing to do, and they did it. I also said the Phillies had the bullpen advantage, which they did, and except for game two, which did not end up falling their way because of the bullpen. That the bullpen won game one. The bullpen was a big reason that the team won game four. This bullpen is so much deeper than last year's. There's no Connor Brogdon or Andrew Bellotti coming out. Instead, your bottom of the rung guys are Greg Soto, who's still pumping 100. Like, they still have the stuff, even on the bottom end of that. And fine, I said the Phillies had a massive managerial advantage, and that showed from the first pitch, or before it even. Brian Snitker switched up his lineup going against Suarez game one, and I don't think it rattled the Braves, but it was a panic move, straight up. He panicked entering the series. Meanwhile, Thompson pulls out Ranger, and the management to be able to tell the entire team, I'm taking Ranger out after when he gets to Ozuna the second time, for the entire team and bullpen and JT to know, accept Ranger so that he would still pitch like he's staying in. That was a masterclass. And then how he navigated with Hoffman getting a big out, Sir Anthony getting a couple big outs. Rob Thompson single-handedly won game one, aside from those guys that actually were on the mound getting the outs. Rob Thompson won game four. Like, his management of this team and situational decisions, I would argue, were perfect. Now, he got burned with Hoffman against Riley, but that came down in a way as soon as the Turner error happened in game two and Darnell gets Wheeler. You kind of felt that coming. And I don't know what else Thompson could have done. He could have kept Alvarado out there. I don't know if the results would have been much different. But you look series-wide, Rob Thompson was worth a win in this series, which is a tiny, tiny margin, yet in as short of a sample size as this, is significant. So all the things we said entering the series ended up ringing true. The difference is it wasn't a 9-6 battle. It was a 3-1 game in the final. It was a 3-0 game. 3-0 because catcher's interference in game one. So it was a lot closer and a lot more nerve-wracking than I wanted it to be, yet here we are. And I think it's amazing that now that they've closed out the Braves in four, after stealing game one on the road, Wheeler goes game two, they lose. Then they come back in game three, and in the third inning score six runs with a majestic homer and a majestic moment, and close them out in four. This Phillies team is copying to a T last year's group, which is comical. Because you go to the start of the year, they start terribly, like they did under Girardi. Then in June, they suddenly flip a switch and they get hot. Again, Schwarber starts going off. They get into August and they find another August run. and the end of the playoffs, they win the wild card series in two, thanks to dominant starting pitching from Wheeler and Nola. They're doing the exact same thing again, which after last year, we're like, this is the most magical run I've ever experienced. How are they ever going to recreate this magic? Not only do they have the same magic, they're winning the exact same way. They're following the exact same script, which going to the NLCS is great news. Into the World Series, that is where you hope it'd be flipped. But this team is better than last year's team. The Castellanos is a different player. He has that look in his eye. And the results are clear. He's taking guys deep twice in two straight games. But Castellanos is better than he was last year. Trey Turner is hitting the crap out of the ball. And while his fielding obviously leaves a little bit to be desired, like those are two massive improvements from last year over what Segura and what Castellanos was at the plate. The starting pitching is the same, with Wheeler and Nola pitching awesome, and Suarez, I mean, being as good as he was last year too. Now you put him against the Braves and he kills him. But you put him in the playoffs and he's a killer. Like there aren't many guys aside from Wheeler and Nola that would want more starting a game right now for the Phils in the playoffs than Ranger Suarez. Immense trust with what he's done. This team's better, though. The bullpen's better. Johan Rojas in center field impacts the game, even when he can't do anything at the plate. I mean, he made the catch look harder than it probably was, and he probably caused heart problems for myself, for people across the Delaware Valley. But that's what you have a defensive center fielder for, and he came down with it. I don't know. The TBS cameras on that shot, it looked like he hit it 15 rows deep. And then for some reason, the ball, as soon as it got down past the fans, just lost it. If that had hit against the wall, I would have had no idea. All I saw was Rojas bang into the wall and Marsh get excited. And, yep, life flashed in front of my eyes, as I said. What else? Bryce Harper. What can we say? I just wrote that down in my notes. Something to hit on from the series. Bryce Harper. I'm not even going to pull up the stats, but that dude, with what he did in Game 3, what he did off Strider in Game 1, and, I mean, they were scared of him. He's starting to get the Barry Bonds treatment, and it's worthy. And I know my colleague Joe Giglio put some stuff out. Like, there was Reggie Jackson when he was going through the playoffs. When I was a child, David Ortiz was that guy. When he is at the plate, no matter the situation, you know he's coming through. And it's so rare in baseball to have a guy that finds himself in those situations and comes through, it feels like, every time. And that's exactly what Harper is. He is the most remarkable clutch player I have ever seen in any sport. Seriously. Like you put him up with a basketball player, you know the basketball player is taking the shot because he has the ball and he can control that. Bryce Harper can't control when he comes up, yet every time he does, bang, another moment. And he did it off Bryce Elder. I was there in Game 3. Everybody in the park knew that was gone. Everybody knew the second he came up to bat, oh, he's going deep here. This is it. And then he takes him deep again, stares down Orlando Arcia rounding second base. And there was the old cliche about, I don't know if it was a cliche, but Pedro Martinez had a moment with the Yankees in 2004 where after getting shelled, he said in a press conference, I'm gonna stick to my heart and call the Yankees my daddies. And it ended up being that he pitched again in Yankee Stadium in I think Game 7 when the Sox had a resounding lead as they were coming back from 3-0 and the entire stadium is chanting, "Who's your daddy?" over and over. And Martinez gets out of it. But I go back to that and, yeah, Martinez got the best of him there. But seriously, Bryce Harper and the Phillies right now are the Braves' daddies. They own them. And there's no way for them to get knocked off. I don't care what happens in the regular season. I don't care what happens between the two teams. The Braves have to beat the Phillies in the playoffs to stop this. And it feels like that's never going to happen going forward with how these, with the cores that are constructed. Like, the Phillies are the alpha. And it's awesome they come in with 15 fewer wins in the regular season, knowing that these are the moments and knowing they're going to get there. And then we as fans, I mean, I'm anxious, deeply anxious about every game going into it. But there is a confidence that, oh, they're coming home after splitting. Oh, this is over. The Braves can't win here. which you never say about baseball, or you never, you usually don't, maybe the old Yankee Stadium. There are not many places like Citizens Bank Park right now. It is hard to describe how the team plays in front of the fans and how inevitable the wins and the moments are. And that was an incredible game tonight. It was an incredible series. And I'm thrilled that we still get to watch this team play. I'm thrilled we avoided me largely ruining my Saturday with having to go through the nerves going into Game 5. Like, we're in a freaking Arizona. They were going to be the wild card opponent. And here we are in the NLCS. Let me tell you this now. The Diamondbacks are not as good as last year's Padres. Like, this was the National League Championship Series, as I said. All right. It's on the clock. A couple final things on the series itself before we move on to some other stuff. I wrote down after every game where the series turned. And I love looking back at these moments because I go back into where I was and what I was thinking. And some of them are with Phillies on the mound, some of them at the plate. Where the series turned each game, in my opinion. Game one, Jeff Hoffman comes in relief of Suarez. And the bases end up getting loaded. And Hoffman gets Michael Harris swinging. After Ranger had been taken out that inning, and you felt a snowball could be coming, the Phillies had a 1-0 lead. We were clinging to it and knew that this was a chance to go win a ball game. And Hoffman coming in and somehow getting out of that with the strikeout, which led into Sir Anthony's next inning, which was ridiculous. A single, a strikeout, a single, and then two Ks of Acuna and Riley. Like, those two innings with those two relievers. That won game one, in my opinion. Game two, where the series turned game two was with Arcia after the game, which I'm going to get to here in a second. Game three, it actually wasn't with Harper at the plate. It was Marcell Ozuna in the top of the third. The Braves had already scored one. Acuna doubled. Albies knocked him home. And Ozuna comes up with two on and two out. And Aaron Nola punches him out looking on a dotted outside fastball. And I haven't talked about Aaron Nola enough. You know how I feel about him and his value to the team and what he means. How big of a fan I am of his as a Philly that came up with the team. It is awesome that we are going to, A, get to see him pitch more in this uniform, but B, that he is delivering his best two starts of the season in the two games that matter the most for how he is remembered. Now, if he goes in somewhere else in free agency, which I think he will, okay, fine. As long as he is remembered as that guy that came through when it mattered. If he got shelled in game three and they lost, everyone's down on Nola, and there aren't fond memories of the ending here. So I'm thrilled that he came through and was awesome. That strikeout of Ozuna, because then the Phillies come down in the bottom of the third. Castellanos homers, Harper homers, JT two-run double. That turned that game. And then game four, the answer is the catch. Johan Rojas in center field, but Castellanos tying the game. Castellanos had, obviously, an unbelievable series with his bat, but his homers came after the Braves scored, which I cannot... Like, the Phillies are amazing at scoring and then giving up runs. The other team always seems to answer against them. Yet in this case, it was the Phillies answering twice with Castellanos homered. The first one in Game 3 and the second after the Austin Riley homer for Castellanos to come up and just... put life back in the ballpark. Everyone's up again. Strider's not invincible. After those innings of leaving guys on, those were massive moments. So I would go with the Castellanos homer to tie it. But where the series turned, I mean, Johan Rojas in center. So amazing. The Phils are moving on. Hey, Rob Thompson is the headline for me of this series with a little subsection on Phillies starting pitching with a big highlight on Aaron Nola and Ranger Suarez. And then, and also big highlight on the stars, Harper, Castellanos, Turner, everybody except Schwarber and Bohm, who are kind of searching right now, but it didn't matter. And as I look up on NBC Sports Philly, they're running the post-game show or the celebration, and the team's going off, believe it or not. This continues to be a team that wins so they can continue to party, which I love. Like, Garrett Stubbs is not going to see the field this playoffs, probably. And he's the dude leading all of it. He's the cheerleader. It's just, like, it's great to know that this is going to continue. Because you never know when the team is celebrating. You never know when it's going to be the last one. And in the 2007-11 run, that last one was going to the NLCS in 2010. I guess making the playoffs in 2011, but whatever. That was the last series they won. So you never know when the last one's going to be. And it feels like with this team, there will be many more, or there should be. Yet you still, like, I love watching all the post-game stuff and how pumped everybody is. I mean, the city's on fire. It's an amazing time. All right, it's on the clock. I want to touch on some of the clown behavior from the week when we come back. I'll touch on the Diamondbacks, too, who just swept out the totally dead Dodgers. There's a lot more to come. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back in. It is on the clock. I'm Ben Kenny. I'm on Twitter at BenZKenny, if you want to hit me up there. I appreciate you listening to the show, however you are doing it. But follow us on the Odyssey app, Phillies 24/7, obviously on the podcast feed, and listen to WIP. If you're listening to this, you probably do. So we thank you for that. Again, not a better time to be dialed in to what is going on in Philadelphia. This didn't happen in Philadelphia. Well, one didn't, and the aftermath was definitely felt here. Can we talk a minute about this Orlando Arcia situation and the sanctity of major league clubhouses? I love how good sports teams, and in college football they do this, coaches find the stupidest stuff to use as motivation to get the team going. Dan Lanning at Oregon famously did with all the Deion Sanders hype and hysteria, and he used that to get his team up for a game, and then they won by 40. Like, whether that stuff is valid motivation or not, good coaches find a way to use it. This Phillies team is good at finding little chips and using those as motivation. And this Arcia thing blew my mind how this became an actual story. Now, credit to the Phillies for using it again, and it should not have been a big deal. So what happened was, after Game 2, when Harper flies into the double play, afterwards, there are reporters all over the clubhouse interviewing the Braves, and Arcia is skipping around, and this was caught like on camera too, and there's audio in the background, chanting, "Attaboy Harper, Attaboy Harper," mocking him for getting thrown out. And then someone tweeted it, or a couple did, noting that he was doing this. And obviously the Phillies used it. Harper stares down Arcia. There's that legendary picture on the Phillies Twitter feed. Yet after Game 3, which the Braves lost 10-2, they got dominated. The story in the clubhouse, as reporters asked Arcia, was, "Oh, we have lost all trust with you media putting out something that we didn't think was on the record, that we didn't think was supposed to get out." Now listen, I've been in clubhouses, or I've been around teams. I did it at the college level, covering Wisconsin football. And the thing there is, there's a very clear dividing line between what is an interview and what isn't. Because the players come out to speak with the media. You're not inside the locker room. In pro sports, obviously the line is blurred. But since the beginning of time, if you are a reporter in that setting, everything's on the record. Unless a player comes up and tells you that it is not. That is a place where everybody, all the reporters are there doing their job. And if there are cameras rolling and microphones are out, for him to trot around saying that and thinking that it's, "Oh, this is anonymous, off the record," he's a fool for thinking that. Meanwhile, you have Travis d'Arnaud after the game talking about, again, the sanctity of the clubhouse and distrust of the media, saying that they had an agreement with the local media on what was on and off the record. Unless that local media are just total shills for the team and are the biggest homeboy, fanboy media group I've ever seen, which could be true, could be very true. Like, unless that's the case, what are we doing? Even if that is the case, that is ridiculous. If reporters are in there to interview people and they see something happen, they are totally in their right to report it. Every single former baseball writer or football writer tweeted out after, like, these players are on one for blaming this. And also, even if, let's say, somebody was in the wrong, to say that after you got drubbed 10-2, you look like an idiot. You look like you're blaming your poor play. And Arcia was a liability the entire series. He was god-awful. It looks like you're blaming that terrible play on, oh, the media. That just shows you how mentally small the Braves are in these moments. It is unbelievable that this became a big story. But it did. And the Phillies benefited from it. So I'm all for that. But that was clown moment number one of the week. The other is what's going on with Ken Rosenthal and a lot of people out there complaining about the current playoff format. And the Phillies have been wild cards twice. They are now on to the NLCS twice in that format. They are getting hot in the playoffs. The Phillies, I'll put an asterisk on, because they are so uniquely built to win in the postseason, where the payroll's up there and the talent's up there. There are just moments in the regular season where Thompson is managing for the long run, which we've chronicled and I think is genius. There are also teams like the Dodgers, who for two decades have had great regular seasons and fell apart when it mattered in the playoffs. And that's a Dodgers problem. That's not a baseball problem. The Braves losing 2 years in a row, as I said in the open, is not a Major League Baseball playoff problem. The Braves getting a week off benefited them because they got to line up their starters who were hurt. If the Braves had played in the wild card series, that wouldn't have affected the fact that Freed is a blister. Probably would have made it worse. And who's their third starter? Bryce Elder. Charlie Morton would have been out anyway. Like, the Dodgers and the Braves, and hindsight can say this, weren't as well equipped for the playoffs as we thought. And that's been the case with teams forever. So the Phillies beating the Braves twice is a story about the Phillies owning them, not about the Major League Baseball playoff system screwing the Braves. The Astros have made 7 straight ALCSs, even with the bye in this new format. And they seem to have no trouble turning it on when needed in the playoffs. Yet here we are, not trying to blame the playoff format. They bring up the Orioles too. The Orioles had a great season. Did I think they were a World Series favorite or had all the talent to do it? Not yet. They won a lot of games. But also the margins in this sport are so small, where the Phillies are 14 wins, fewer than the Braves. How many of those ninth inning comebacks the Braves had, or late inning comebacks the Braves had against the Phillies? Flip a couple of those. And then flip all the other times where one bounce of the ball changes it. The margins are small. They're really small. And teams manage themselves differently. Some peak in the regular season, like the Dodgers, and are always screwed in the playoffs. The Phillies have been the opposite 2 years. So it has nothing to do with the playoff system, the fact that they're here. It has everything to do with their manager, with the players, and with the GM. So all that, like, I hate this. I hate complaining about this structure. Now, would I have liked to see a 7-game series between the Phillies and the Braves? Sure. Yeah, that would have been a classic. Would I be okay with there being a couple 7-game series? Absolutely. But that's a question of entertainment value. It's not really a question of making it fair. Like, it's baseball. What are we talking about? And people are citing March Madness as a fair way to do it. Are you kidding me? Putting 68 teams into a bracket and saying win a basketball game when one hot 3-point shooting night can ruin a great team season? Like, every sport's different. Baseball is baseball. And if you're complaining about a team that loses in the first round when getting a bye, or the Brewers who get in and just lose, that's not a problem with how they get in. It's a problem with their team. It's a problem with how it's constructed, how it's managed, and clearly how it comes up in the big moments. Like, pick any team to come into Philadelphia right now. I think they lose. The Astros aren't as good as they were last year. I think they beat Texas, even though Texas scares me. Pick any team to come into Philly, they'll lose. It doesn't matter if the Phillies won 200 games in the regular season or if they won 90. It is fair because you're playing a baseball game. You're still getting to those series. And if you think you're so bad and you're going to get cold in the week off, do what the Braves tried to do. Inter-squad scrimmage or whatever. And then try to save your pitchers at the same time. We know that pitching dominates in the playoffs and decides series. So the week off gives you time to rest. If anything, I think it's an advantage. It is foolish to call it some sort of disadvantage. But that's what's going on. That's what we're going to have to deal with. Luckily, despite me spending 4 minutes talking about it, I don't care. The Phillies are on to the NLCS. And the complaining, frankly, I enjoy it now because the Phillies are benefiting, or at least everyone's using them as an example. And it's stupid. It's foolish. All right. On the clock, Ben Kenny hanging out with you. Let's talk about the Diamondbacks for a second. The Phillies will face them in the NLCS. And as I went through in the playoff preview, which ended up not being a preview for anything because these two teams did not meet, the Diamondbacks were pretty cold going down the stretch of the season. They finished the season with a negative run differential, but they're young, they're fun, they steal bases, they play great defense, they have two great starting pitchers. I think more than them, say, playing amazing and being this party crashers like the Phillies were last year, I think they ran into two really vulnerable teams that were not built well to win a short series. That being the Brewers, without Brandon Woodruff and without an offense, and then the Dodgers, without any pitching. Lance Lynn was on the mound in Game 3. Like, how the hell are you winning that if you're L.A.? And their stars, Betts and Freeman, went 1-for-21. So circumstance has them here. I am not scared of them in the slightest. And I'm riding high off of this win, but I still am not in the least bit scared of the Arizona Diamondbacks. During the regular season, they were a middle-of-the-road team hitting. They 17th in OPS, 13th in average. They do steal a lot of bases. So this is a big series for JT with his arm defensively, and big for the Phillies to manage the run game. The team's pitching was 20th in ERA, 19th in WHIP. Their bullpen is average to below average. What they have are two aces, Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen, who actually had pretty bad months to end the season, yet pitched great in the Brewers and Dodgers series. So they look to have turned it around. Did they turn it around, or did they face a terrible offense in Milwaukee and a weirdly dead offense in L.A.? Because either of those could be true. And we're going to – a true test is facing this Phillies lineup, hopefully on the road for both of them. Gallen has had two starts in the playoffs, 11 and a third inning, four earned runs, eight strikeouts actually. That's a 3.18 ERA. Kelly had one start, 6 1/3, 5 strikeouts. That was against the Dodgers. No runs. So they're pitching well. But again, I'll say this with the Diamondbacks before we play game one, leading up to it. Are they there because they are this great team and are playing great? Or did circumstances allow them to get there? Again, they are not as good as last year's Padres. They're not close to as much of a threat. Last year's Padres with Darvish and Snell, and that lineup with Soto, and Bogarts and Ha-Seong Kim, that's a really good baseball team who somehow didn't win this year, but they're really good. I don't think this Diamondbacks team is. There are a couple things that scare me, though. Their catcher, this young kid, has been awesome, Gabe Moreno. 3 home runs so far in the playoffs. His OPS is above 1,100. Rookie, probably rookie of the year, Corbin Carroll. He's the guy. Like, he's the guy you pitch around or try to. Like, you don't let you don't let Corbin Carroll beat you. The problem is he's protected by Christian Walker. Carroll has 2 homers and close to a 1,400 OPS in the playoffs. He's going off. And if you put him on, he's stealing second. So he is the big weapon. But there's only really one of them. Christian Walker hits after him. He has a homer and an OPS above 1,000. So he's well protected, Carroll is. Walker can beat you. Kettle Marte, their shortstop, couple homers, OPS near 1,000. They have some dudes in the middle of the lineup that do scare me. But the Phillies should be able to outhit them. And if they plan it right, that the bottom of this lineup is nothing compared to what the bottom of the Braves lineup is. And if the Phillies are getting the pitching they are right now from Aaron Nola and Wheeler and the crew, Phillies and maybe a sweep. I'll say Phillies in 5 to be respectful of our friends in Arizona. I don't think this is a really big test. I wanted them in the wildcard series more than the Marlins, which was foolish because the Marlins aren't good. But they scared me weirdly because you're talking about a division rival. I'm not scared of this Diamondbacks team at all. Famous last words, but I'm not scared of this Diamondbacks team. All right, I'm Ben Kenny. It's on the clock. Let's. I had a backup plan because I'm in studio now. I'm in here tonight cutting sound. I had a backup plan if the Phillies lost against the Braves in that game, and this is where I would have done the Game 5 preview. But we're not going to do that. I don't have to talk about Max Fried's blister because the Braves are dead. The Braves are going to go home, and all of their fans can now. There were fans at Game 1. I can't believe I buried this lead. There are fans at Game 1 watching the Georgia game on their phones. It's a Saturday afternoon. Georgia's boat racing Kentucky. They have fans out there watching the Georgia game, which is pathetic. The Braves fans are pathetic. Their team is pathetic. The chop is pathetic, which I will never do the chop. I'll never mock the chop, but it is pathetic. Let that be known. Everything about them. Yeah, they won a couple years ago. Congratulations. That was before the Phillies became the Phillies. Now they're screwed. Win your games in the regular season because you get to the playoffs, you're facing this team, and every time you're going to lose. All right, Ben Kenny with you. It's on the clock. We'll touch on the rest of the MLB playoffs when we come back and close it out. We'll close it out and send you on your way to the NLCS as the Phillies continue to celebrate. Everybody at Xfinity Live, stay safe tonight. Have some fun. It's on the clock. We'll be right back. All right, Ben Kenny, on the clock. We are back. Phillies 24/7. Sports Radio WIP. The calendar is turned to Friday, so I can officially say happy Friday to all of you. That's when this show is coming out. I'm in after the Phillies' Game 4 win over the Braves as they advance to the NLCS, and the postgame show continues to be on. And I was in after Game 2, and it was my nightmare because I had to cut all the sound of them losing. So I was like reliving that over and over again, like getting stabbed repeatedly. Here I get to go through the entire postgame show with jubilation and happiness. So I have a fun night ahead of me. And then I get to not really care what the Eagles do on Sunday. Even though, can they win so that we can not talk about them on Monday and get into NLCS Game 1? But you got Game 1 Monday. I believe Game 2 is Tuesday. We'll check in with you next week midway through the series. The series will be shifting back to Arizona, which, of note, the Phillies have home field now. And they will have home field if Houston makes the World Series instead of Texas. Which, that's the other series across Major League Baseball. The Astros beat the Twins in the least surprising thing ever. And they're not as good as last year. But the Astros have the Phillies' way of, you put them in the playoffs and they're just winners. They just find a way to do it, no matter how it is, and no matter who they're playing against. So they're on to face Texas, who smashed Baltimore. And that's the one people, you know, oh, Baltimore had a week off. Whatever. Texas is really good. Max Scherzer could be coming back. They scare me more than anything. I want a Houston rematch in the World Series at this point. I don't want Texas. They look really good. That's going to be a banger of a series. And hopefully the Phillies, Diamondbacks is a complete sleeper. There's a real chance of that. I would love just a stress-free, Phils win in five, and I get to watch. Well, actually, I don't want there to be a big layoff. I would like this, all of this to continue, but I would like there to be enough of a layoff where the starters get rested and I get to watch the Astros and Rangers go, you know, super stressful, use the top starters in game 6 and 7 and give the Phillies the upper hand, which, again, because of the season series, Phils would have home field on Houston and they would not on Texas. So root for the Astros, even though it's hard. But that would be the sweetest revenge ever, especially if it's off Verlander. The only guy there, you don't need me to tell you this, but Yordan Alvarez is being Yordan Alvarez. He's doing it. So that's, I mean, you pitch it. Like, he is Harper. Him, Yordan Alvarez and Bryce Harper are this generation's closest things to David Ortiz in the postseason. I think that 2013 run when Ortiz was just out of his mind, he hit like 800 in the World Series. That's what Harper and Alvarez are. And they're the only two guys this generation that are like that. Acuña's great in the regular season. I mean, again, dead in the playoffs, doing nothing. And he was out for the Braves World Series run. Mike Trout, one of the best of this generation, hasn't been to the playoffs. It's Harper and it's Alvarez right now. Those are the two appointment watching. Get the football fans off of some crap Thursday night game. Get them to a television. Because that's going to be a banger when those guys are up. All right, it's on the clock. Ben Kenny, we close it out when we come back. All right, it is on the clock. Ben Kenny, as I look ahead on MLB.com's schedule, and it is updated. The Diamondbacks will host the Phillies at 8 o'clock Eastern on Monday night for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series. Rangers-Astros play at 4:30. Man, they are just pumping. Phillies in primetime. We get TBS again, which I like Fox so much better. The presentation and the mics and the announcing. But we get Brian Anderson, TBS again. Diamondbacks-Phillies. Game 1 Monday. Likely. Well, lines up perfectly. Again, the Phils avoided Game 5. They get Zach Wheeler for Game 1. Nola for Game 2. Ranger 3. They'll figure out Game 4. And then Wheeler, Nola, Ranger again. If they need it. But it sets up for Wheeler and Nola to, again, both go twice. Again, if needed. This is all lining up perfectly for the Phillies. They didn't have to burn the Wheeler start Game 5. So that's Monday. Tuesday, Game 2. Again here in Philly, 8 o'clock. Wednesday is going to be Game 3 of the ALCS. I don't really care when that's going on. Game 3 of the NLCS is Thursday at 5 o'clock. So we'll be on after that game to record for that Friday morning. So we will talk to you after three games. The Phils visit Arizona for Game 3, obviously. Then they go Friday and Saturday. So that's a banger of a weekend. Game 5 would be next Saturday. And then 6 and 7, if needed, would be that next Monday and Tuesday. So it's gonna be an incredible week. It's already been an incredible stretch of baseball here in Philadelphia. This, again, remains the greatest thing to experience, to be here for, the greatest thing in sports. When the Phillies are winning, there is nothing like it in this town. And especially when they're winning with this team. This team needs to win a World Series. They are the most likable group I have ever followed. They are good enough, clearly, to do it. And they were so close last year. They need to win a World Series so that we can look back on this run with the fondest memory of them holding a trophy, like we do for the 08-09 team. I'm glad, like, they needed one too. If they had lost that World Series, then that's, like, they're an amazing team, but that's different. This team needs one. So they get going in the semifinals in the NLCS. Coming up on Monday. Man, it's going to be a fun, stress-free weekend. We get Eagles football Sunday. My Wisconsin Badgers play Iowa on Saturday. No care in the world. No care about the Phillies. And we're back Monday. I will be back on this show next Friday to talk about it all. For all of you, what a win. I appreciate you following us for as long as I've done this show. And we're continuing on. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.